this week, how to program the world. But first, I'm Quinn Emmett, and this is Important, Not Important, Science for People Who Give a Shit. You can hit subscribe right now to get this essay and my conversations with the world's smartest people when they come out every single week, and time traveling, you can go backwards where there's almost 200 conversations and something like 50 essays in our archives, all for your enjoyment. Of course, you can find links to everything at our website, importantnotimportant.com, or a lot of them are right in your show notes. And now, let's talk about the thing I wanted to talk about today. One of my favorite things about playing Civilization VI, or Civ VI, if you know, is the underlying mechanism of fuck around and find out. Now, isn't that just life, you ask? Immediately skeptical of today's conversation, one-way conversation here between us? Yeah, obviously, for sure. But hear me out. Every single choice you make in Civ VI, from the very beginning, when the fog of war is everywhere, everything has a butterfly effect later, shoving you into, often geographical, corners without fresh water that you can't possibly build or fight your way out of. Now, depending on your original difficulty setting, your embryonic little village might get slaughtered almost immediately, long before resembling any sort of actual civilization, or much later, almost having witnessed the glory of the modern era, and maybe not quite the information era. I want to talk about the information era today, so we're going to get to that. But even after actual, like, thousands of hours of playing this game, I'm constantly at the mercy of seemingly innocuous decisions I made in a rush hundreds of turns ago, and now, on the cusp of a paradigm shift in scientific application, my people are, of course, starving or thirsty and under attack or without religion and the arts, with every choice to pursue animal husbandry at the temporary expense of pottery, or a code of laws before craftsmanship, I am programming the world. At least in Civ VI, I do this intentionally, having memorized the tech and civics trees a long, long time ago. I am creating my own destiny. Well, my people's destiny. Even if I don't know what the actual destiny is, the end game, what it'll be yet, or even the journey I'll take to get there. Because in Civ VI, my only clear, measurable outcome is to stay alive, to make it through time. In real life, there's still lots of poverty and famine on the map, but way less than there used to be. Religion ebbs and flows depending on where you live. Of course, modern-day fundamentalists spent the 2000s fucking just blowing up many of our oldest world wonders. The tech tree is happening live and moving faster and affecting more of us, while the civics tree is kind of going backwards. We seem to be beholden to a world that is increasingly and inescapably programmed for us. But is it? Now look, considering the relentless bullshit about how AI will take over the world and or enslave us, these large language models, or LLMs, traditionally ChatGPT, Claude, Gemini, Copilot, etc., they don't actually do that yet. In fact, they do that measurably less than the old-school machine learning that we never think about that otherwise controls every aspect of the rest of our lives, from dating apps to mortgages and face recognition. Many of these have, unsurprisingly, turned out to be an ethical nightmare, coded from the start with our most profound biases. The original 10 blue links shoved off-screen to make room for 10 very similar-looking links, bought and paid for based on everything else you've ever clicked on. You get it. While I'm increasingly aware of the technical potential and drawbacks of AI large language models, I am, again, at least for now, significantly more confident in my ability to discern the morality of them, the shoulds versus the coulds. So I choose to use them. I still have a choice to use them, that is, as opposed to so many of our other tools now. I don't use them to write, mostly for research, knowing they're imperfect. It's usually pretty direct, as opposed to, again, when you apply for a mortgage and a computer just tells you no. I mostly use Claude, either in the flesh or by way of Perplexity, and as my default LLM there. it's great, even if we're not 100% sure why it's great, or I'm using like 1% of its capabilities. But a significant reason I choose Perplexity is because it provides citations for its responses or summaries or whatever they are. Now, that mechanism alone makes me feel somewhat less horrific about the tool taking a prompt from me, basically pilfering the best of journalism, and just spitting out my own personal Wikipedia answer. But I want to be better than that, and I think I am better than that, because I can make myself feel even less horrific when I actually click through to Perplexity's provided sources to either fact-check what Perplexity and Claude have given me, because I don't trust anything, or to actually link back to the original sources when I'm building my own ongoing research or writing one of these things. So yeah, look at me. I'm still visiting the websites where the journalism was originally published. I'm usually paying for a subscription if it's a reliable source and one is on offer. Or at the very least, I'm sending them a few clicks, you know? After all that, I'm still, I think, standing on the burnt-out shoulders of the world's last remaining journalists. I firmly believe I'm still doing the right thing. Right? Even with the insane energy consumption of the data centers for these things? Even as this collection of hard and soft technologies threatens to, quote-unquote, explode the economy, or maybe not make anyone any money at all, or just make the same people unfathomably richer. Hey, everyone, it's Quinn, your host and the founder of Important Not Important. I'd like to take a quick minute to tell you about the INI, or INI, whatever we're calling it these days, membership and community. It's a gathering place, really, for our most dedicated shit givers, a place to connect and learn from one another and to have access to me outside of the newsletter and this podcast. We started it last year, and it's grown to hundreds of shit givers from all kinds, from around the globe. I'm talking about teachers and investors, students, electricians, journalists, artists, scientists, and policymakers, and more. Members get exclusive access to our daily news homepage, which is very cool, and to much more top-of-mind weekly articles, research, and tools that you can use and to stay ahead of the game, member-sourced action steps, twice-monthly book and culture recommendations that have nothing to do with the end of the world, virtual events, and of course, the membership Slack channel. Look, so many people come to us asking, what can I do? And we think we do a pretty good job of answering that question and providing context for the answer. But the best answers and the best perspective really come from the community, a wide-ranging community, and we would love for you to be a part of it, to feel supported yourself, and to contribute to discussions and actions alike. And of course, by becoming a member, you're directly supporting our work here and ensuring that we get to keep doing it. So if you'd like to learn more, head to importantnotimportant.com. And if you're already a reader, you can just hit the upgrade button at the top. If you're not, go ahead and subscribe for free, and you'll see the option to become a member at whatever level works best for you. And as always, you can always find the link to become a member right in your show notes. So thanks for listening, and as always, thanks for giving a shit. Back to the show. Another way I justify my use of LLMs is because I'm using these tools to understand what the hell is going on, or what the hell happened to get us here, from a variety of different perspectives, and then to make reasonable guesses at what's coming, and what you and all of us can do about it. I'm using them as a tool for that. Now, LLMs aren't super forecasters by any stretch, except to predict the next word they think I want to read. But they can help me, and they have helped me think through various scenarios and entanglements, providing for some really interesting sliding doors type rabbit holes that would be both super helpful to survive Civ 6 to the end and also ruin the entire game. Anyways, I know how the internet works. Logistically, I stopped coding a long time ago. So the problem is that lurking in the cobwebs of my brain is at least one major question, which is, I still have agency over this, right? Not because of cultural FOMO, of course. Cancel plans are like what I imagine cocaine to be for me. There's no trend I am not up for sleeping through. When it comes to tools and software in particular, I am almost by rule two things. One, extremely loyal to what works, however ancient it may be. Looking at you, OmniFocus. And two, absolutely ruthless about migrating away from what doesn't. And for example, Evernote. I don't have time anymore to play with every new toy and app and service, much less to migrate my 4,849, actual number, Apple Notes, which, yeah, they were once Evernotes, to another fucking note system. This is where they are. They're staying here. Entire baby LLM companies have raised billions of dollars, come and gone since I downloaded their app and stashed it in the testing folder on my phone, and then forgot about it. These things aren't integrated in our lives like traditional machine learning has been. No, what I'm talking about when I talk about agency is the sense that of everything else online, I haven't been nudged towards these tools or caught in their collective web in any way, except that I tried them intentionally. I went to the Claude website, and they've proven to make an extremely time-consuming part of my job a little more expedient and maybe even more thorough. So I'm not all in on them because my work process, as we've talked about before, is extremely weird because I'm not willing to submit most of, or at least any more of, my data to them. And because, unlike when I got started in this job, if we can call it that, I've become far more skeptical of shiny new things like autonomous cars and infinitely more excited about destroying the bottlenecks that prevent equitable, affordable access to actually clean air, water, food, shelter, education, wellness, and healthcare. So as promising and or reckless as these tools may be, there's a lot of known unknowns, and even unknown unknowns, as we talked about a year ago. One thing we do know, the internet we've come to know in loathe in some ways, is to paraphrase Cory Doctorow, in shitifying. The zero interest rate phenomenon and preying on your lizard brains combined for about 15 years to make you think your devices are free in a lot of ways and actually listening to you, which they are. They did, and the companies sold all that data all the time, and they're completely addicted to that model, and it's really ruined everything, and we're watching it happen live. For every new fun toy we get, like TikTok, there is the inevitable lure to become a marketplace, because there is simply no other way to make money at scale online. But also, here's the thing, and maybe you don't remember it because you're like me, and vital information goes in one ear and out the other, unless it's put directly into my 4,850th Apple Note, but you actually did search for sweatpants a little while back. I know you did. Now, you don't remember because Shogun was on at the same time, which is fucking great. And if you weren't watching the subtitles, you'll never know why the gardener died. If you know, you know. So you're scrolling, you search for the sweatpants, you look up at the subtitles, et cetera, et cetera. Maybe you didn't search for the exact sweatpants in your feed right now that you're like, why did these show up? Maybe you didn't search for them on this device. But come on, it's 2024. You might not know how the ad networks actually work, but you do know they're working all the time, every second of every day, even when you're not actively inputting data with your greasy fingers in front of the TV. So yeah, you get what you get, and you don't get upset. You're getting an Instagram ad for stretchy sweatpants made of plastic, or banner ad for those same exact sweatpants on a completely random website you've never visited before because they're all using the same networks and because you asked for it. Of course you did that. And you did it because it was shown to you because of something else you clicked on before that. And yeah, now we're veering dangerously into free will, or at least internet free will territory, which at least maybe has an actual start point or genesis story. Anyways, the point is, take some accountability. You started the fire in some ways. They just took advantage of you. The good news is, do you know what that means? It means you actually do have some agency. It's so much less than you should have, or that you had before, but you do. I don't want to rehash all this. You know it, you get it. If you drove by a Target or a Starbucks or near an abortion clinic, anybody can buy that data, et cetera, et cetera. Old news. Read the markup. I'm just trying to reinforce for you that you drove there even knowing your location was being tracked and sold not only by your phone company, but by your car company too. And probably you drove there because you had to, either because to get coffee or to get an abortion. Anyways, I'm here to explain that your little decisions, your big decisions, do matter in real life and online. They add up. Your agency really fucking matters today, more than ever. Because journalism built America on these geographic and demographic print ad monopolies. I used to work in them. And then they desperately pivoted that whole gamble to the internet, and they lost real bad, decisively. It's over, because Google and Facebook won the whole thing. Google and Facebook sucking up all the ad dollars for the rest of our lives seems, or at least seemed 12 months ago, inevitable and too huge to even begin to undo. Not unlike, I don't know, last Friday night, you're trying to have a nice night, you have your gummy, you read about record-breaking ocean temperatures, and then you stare at the plastic salad container you just diligently rinsed out, and then you try to remember if it's one of the types of plastic that's actually recyclable. It's not. And you read the headline again, and they stare back at your Nancy's chopped salad container, and then back at the headline, and back at the salad, and you say out loud, what the fuck am I supposed to do about this? About any of this? And I get it. But you know what? As I quoted in that unexpectedly popular post I wrote about ignoring my kids, Peter Singer said, my contribution cannot end a famine, but it can save the lives of several people who might otherwise starve. That applies pretty widely. I don't want to minimize famine, clearly, but you should know that you have the agency and resources to feed or diaper at least one kid, or give another kid bed net, or help one recently fired journalist, which are everywhere, keep their brand new newsletter going for another month. Just by subscribing and then upgrading, or even just clicking one of their little ads, you are proving your agency. You're participating in and furthering that civics tree. And by the way, that ad that they've got, you'll recall that it's almost inexplicable that they could have landed it, considering whatever the advertiser is, could have just spent their cash at thefacebook.com and gotten significantly better targeting for it. You got to support them. You got to click on it. You got to choose to do that. We don't have many choices we get to make anymore. The internet is being torn apart. The facade is crumbling. The lattice work is being, of the past 20 years, is being stripped for training data. But when you volunteer for a clinical trial or just pay for a worthy Patreon, you are exercising so much power. You are affecting the world back. You're saying, no, bitch, this is what I want to read. This is who I want to support. We always say that one of the tenets of our membership is that by choosing to pay for it, you're saying, yes, I want to see more of this in the world. With every click on an actual news website, however you get to it, that's what you're doing. With every dollar you spend on an actual book, whatever, with every link back from your Squarespace to a group who recruits young progressive candidates, provides funding for clean streets, safe streets, for abortions, for school lunches, you're not only taking back your algorithms as much as you can, you're not only programming the internet a little bit more towards what you want, you're programming the world. It's the alignment problem, but for good. Right? I have this dear old friend who works for one of the two huge music streaming places, and who is an extremely talented musician and producer in his own right. And I'll tell you what, however much pop music I listen to, and it's so much, and not just because of my kids, but because it's good, I still get my best new music recommendations by simply asking him, what should I be listening to? Now, I never have any idea what he's going to send me back, but I trust him to give me some actually hand-curated music options. Now, I have other friends who I respect and admire, whose professional competency makes them one of the most trusted leaders in the free world, but whose taste in music I have abhorred for decades, Drew. But this is neither here nor there. Anyways, the point is, we're at the point now where, yeah, subscription fatigue is a very real thing, and it's all really exhausting and unaffordable. But at the same time, because of the democratization of subscriptions, you have more power than you've ever had before. Look, on the one hand, the New York Times didn't just start printing money because it made a conscious choice to appeal to a wider audience, which is frustrating, or because some of that ad money came back from Google and Facebook. They got a little bit. They started printing money because they've always printed crosswords and comics, and they made crosswords part of their subscription, and people happily paid for their crosswords. So they added a couple more games, and then they bought Wordle, and then they snagged Wirecutter. And all along, the cooking site's been amazing, and now their games team is bigger than most of the remaining newsrooms in America. I'm telling you all this not because, hey, that's great, but because you did this. If no one played and paid for the crossword and connections or spelling bee, the New York Times couldn't pay their games team, or honestly, probably, their vaunted news team. If Amazon hadn't capitalized on the 1990s very real hell of maintaining your own servers to build and scale Amazon Web Services, or AWS, the store itself might not have made them any real money, and then they couldn't have blown billions on Whole Foods or become a pharmacy or own more planes and trucks than FedEx or paid for Jeff Bezos's steroids and all in all provide the opportunity for co-founder and author Mackenzie Scott to make dude billionaires look as selfish as they really are. Of course, the Amazon store is now a completely untrustworthy advertising nightmare hellscape behemoth in itself, which is the whole point. There's only one way to go. On the other hand, if you hadn't, understandably, spent the past 15 years kind of expecting most of your news to be free, we wouldn't be here either. I know. Well, it's time to rectify all of that, friends. It's time to take the red pill and believe. It's time to forge each of our personal Apple Pay Face ID authorizations into systemic ones, where for-profit newsrooms like The Atlantic and 404 can become profitable, and nonprofit places like our friends at Capital B and The 19th and ProPublica and The Markup can change the model entirely and change the world. Because when they can pay the bills, because you clicked a button, they can theoretically hold the most powerful among us to task, including many of those companies. When they can pay the bills, when they thrive, the corrupt insurrectionist former president with 100 felonies to his name cannot simply merge his social network with a shell company, make billions on paper overnight with every intention of fucking selling it to pay $500 million in bond just in time for the election, he's gonna run in again. They'll cover that. You order somebody's actual book, you've got the power. Knock on doors for like a fucking school board candidate, untold power. And you can copy and paste this shit for individual climate and food and health actions that, yeah, added together, make up for that sweet, sweet compound action. What you pay attention to, like actively look at, which the internet machine learning, old school machine learning, takes as, got it, this guy wants to see more of DIY native landscaping. Now, go, go, go. Yeah, that's what you get more of. There's one very likely sliding doors future where Trump wins. Where Moms for Liberty gets their shit together. Where Medicare never gets real purchasing power. Where new LLMs become as intractable, even invisible from our lives as rudimentary machine learning is today. But we can each and all take this moment that we have, living on the edge, our civilization struggling to get past the great filter, to program the world for what we want it to be. Okay, here's your relevant action steps. Number one, donate and subscribe to The 19th. Our friends, they're an independent, nonprofit, kick-ass newsroom reporting on gender and politics. Number two, volunteer with TechShift to build a fairer, more just technological future. Number three, get educated about the powerful institutions using technology to change society through the invaluable reporting by The Markup. There are few publications I read more of, and once a week go, what the fuck? Number four, be heard about keeping companies accountable to assessing AI for bias and effectiveness, and ask your representatives to support the Algorithmic Accountability Act. Number five, invest in climate tech solutions that will accelerate the transition to a clean economy with Full Cycle. That's it for this week. Feedback, questions, opinions, cookie recipes, please email them to me at questions@importantnotimportant.com. Thank you for listening, and thank you for giving a shit.